Hello, and welcome to Learning English, a daily 30-minute program from the Voice of America, designed for people like you who are learning American English. I'm Christopher Jones Cruz in Washington. Every day of the year on this program, we bring you news from and about the United States and the world. Because this program is produced for learners of American English, like you, we speak a little slower than normal, and we use words and phrases that are easy to understand. Listen to the program, then practice saying the words and sentences the way we do. It's a free and easy way to improve your American English skills every day of the year. This is what you will hear on today's program. I'll tell you about the damage to the people and places that Islamic State terrorists are doing as they flee places they have controlled. Brian Lynn will report on the use of child soldiers in conflicts in the Middle East.
We think that what we documented is a real warning sign and that it needs to be addressed publicly and firmly, and there should be a zero-tolerance policy for child recruitment by any militias.
Pete Musto will tell us about the pollution of water in rivers and lakes that is threatening more than 300 million people in Africa, Asia, and Latin America with such killer diseases as cholera and typhoid.
Viruses, bacteria, and other microscopic organisms increased pollution in more than half of rivers across the three areas between 1990 and 2010.
Bruce Alpert will tell us about the recent speech by Republican presidential nominee Donald Trump on the subject of immigration. Trump said illegal immigrants are responsible for many violent crimes. And he said, they represent a terrorism threat to the United States. And in our weekly health and lifestyle report, Anna Mateo will tell us about a recent study of middle school children that showed that verbal abuse by other children can harm development in the brain.
The images showed that the individuals who reported suffering verbal abuse from their peers in middle school had underdeveloped connections between the left and right side of the brain.
So you can see, as always, we have a lot for you today. So let's get started. Islamic State, or IS, fighters are being forced from cities and towns across Iraq and Syria. But as IS forces withdraw, they increasingly leave behind death and destruction. They have caused major damage to local economies and harmed the people they already terrorized. Recently, a VOA reporter visited the oil-rich town of Khayarech, 60 kilometers south of the city of Mosul. IS forces controlled the town for more than 2 years, until last week when Iraqi forces captured it. The militants damaged the town's roads and other infrastructure before they left. They also damaged or destroyed many homes. Oil wells were set on fire. This caused major damage to the economy and the environment. Local reports said at least 10 oil fields were destroyed. Hussein Jassim lives in Hayareh. He said Islamic State fighters destroyed the oil fields because they knew how important they were to the town's economy. Iraqi military officials said the town's military base was also destroyed. Colonel Karim Radwan is an Iraqi military officer who led the attack against the IS forces. He said the base is not usable now. IS bombed the infrastructure of the base. The air base at Hayareh was important for the Iraqi Air Force before it was captured by IS in June 2014. The United States military used the base for several years after U.S. and Allied troops entered Iraq in 2003. Radwan said it will take a lot of time and money before the airfield can be used again. People in the town said they paid IS fighters a lot of money and suffered mentally from the town's occupation. Jassim said, "We either had to pay them or get slaughtered." Because of the destruction, many people say they will not return to the town for a long time. Many people who lived there fled to the Kurdish area of Iraq or other nearby areas that were still under government control. Wahid Khalaf said he fled with his family as the Iraqi forces were liberating Hayareh. He told VOA he and his children walked for 7 hours to reach safe areas, taking many dangerous routes. Another resident, who did not want to be named, said thousands of families were affected by the terrorists when they controlled the town. "These families have no homes or anything. They have nowhere to go," he said, watching people crowded in a truck, fleeing the town. Experts say IS seeks to cause damage and suffering that lasts long after they have left a town. "This is exactly what IS wants," said Hamid Majid, a political observer. "They want to show people that their lives would be even more miserable after IS no longer controls their territories."
Islamic State forces have often used images of child soldiers as a propaganda tool. One of the latest examples was a video released last week. It showed 5 children appearing to execute a group of Kurdish prisoners in Syria. The site Intelligence Group studies the official statements and online activities of extremists. The group identified the young boys as being British, Egyptian, Kurdish, Tunisian, and Uzbek. The site website said the video was filmed in the city of Raqqa. Islamic State has produced many other propaganda videos. Some show children as young as 4 years old carrying out executions. The videos also showed students attending IS schools and boys receiving military training and shooting weapons. The exact number of children who have received training at Islamic State camps is not known. But the United States-based Combating Terrorism Center has estimated there are at least 1,500 active child soldiers fighting for IS. While the abuse of children by IS forces is well known, there are new concerns about other groups recruiting young soldiers. Human Rights Watch said it recently found evidence that two Iraqi government-supported militias recruited children from a camp for displaced civilians. The group said the militias, in Iraq's northern Kurdistan area, are made up of Sunni fighters. They are expected to play an important part in the upcoming fight to recapture the IS-held city of Mosul. The Iraqi leadership has predicted that government forces will retake Mosul by the end of the year. Bill Van Esveld is a children's rights researcher for Human Rights Watch. He said witnesses and relatives told the group that the militias took at least 7 children from a camp to an area near Mosul to prepare for the offensive.
We think that what we documented is a real warning sign and that it needs to be addressed publicly and firmly, and there should be a zero tolerance policy for child recruitment by any militias.
Van Esveld said the concern is that child soldiers will be fighting against each other in the battle for Mosul. He added that unlike Islamic State, the militias did not force the children to join. But although they joined as volunteers, he said, all sides need to take steps not to accept fighters under age 18. Human Rights Watch was told by a member of the militias they were being paid directly by the Iraqi government, according to Van Esveld. He said Iraq and its allies have a responsibility to take steps to stop the recruitment and use of child soldiers.
There are simple steps that could be put in place to check people's ages, make sure that they present identification documents that are genuine. So that really needs to happen. Otherwise, we're going to have children fighting each other on the front lines.
Van Esveld said that some of the young volunteer recruits want to fight against IS forces because they were forced out of their homes by the militant group. He added that there has been a big push by militias in recent weeks to increase their numbers before the battle for Mosul. John Horgan is a professor at Georgia State University and an expert on terrorism and political violence. He said the number of child fighters has reached crisis levels. We are looking at a level of child mobilization that is unprecedented and increasing, he said. Horgan said that for years, Islamic State has aggressively recruited children to be soldiers and suicide bombers. He said those who escaped have described the horrors they had been through. Some children were sexually assaulted as part of their training. Some were beaten by sticks. They slept on flea-ridden mattresses and were beaten and bullied if they faltered even for a second, Horgan said. These young fighters and other children displaced or held captive by Islamic State will suffer from many physical and psychological problems for years, he added. Human Rights Watch's Bill Van Esveld agrees. He said this will create serious problems affecting a large number of children once the battle for Mosul is over.
We can expect to see see other kids with real psychological issues and mental health issues coming out of prolonged periods of abuse and deprivation and military training and participation in battles.
Van Esveld said another problem will be that many surviving children will have no parents. Some were born as a result of rape. Others were taken away from families or their parents were killed. These children will be in great need of all kinds of physical and psychological support, as well as education. There's a lot of serious heavy lifting to be done on this issue, and it hasn't really started yet, he said. I'm Brian Lynn.
More than 300 million people in Africa, Asia, and Latin America are at risk of life-threatening diseases such as cholera and typhoid. The reason? Pollution of water in rivers and lakes. These are findings in a report from the United Nations Environment Program, also known as UNEP. Viruses, bacteria, and other microscopic organisms increased pollution in more than half of rivers across the three areas between 1990 and 2010, the report said. UNEP officials said long-lasting toxic pollutants like fertilizer or petrol increased during that period. Levels of salt rose in nearly one-third of the waterways. The report listed population growth and expanding agriculture as two of the main reasons for the increase of surface water pollution. Another reason was an increased amount of untreated water containing waste products. In all, UNEP said 323 million people were at risk of infection. Dietrich Borchardt, the lead writer of the report, spoke to the Thomas Reuters Foundation. The water quality problem at a global scale and the number of people affected by bad water quality are much more severe than we expected, he said. But a large number of the rivers in the affected areas are still in good condition and need to be protected, Borchardt noted. Disease-causing pollution was a problem in almost 25% of rivers in Latin America, the UNEP report said. Between 10 and 25% of the rivers in Africa were affected, as were up to 50% in Asia. Untreated sewage was the main cause of this, it said. The report added that nearly 3.4 million people die each year from diseases or conditions like cholera, typhoid, polio, and diarrhea. These are related to water quality. UN officials believe as many as 164 million people in Africa are at risk of infection from diseases. They said that 134 million people in Asia and 25 million in Latin America are also at risk. The report said building more sewage systems was not enough to solve the problems of infection and deaths. It said the solution was for countries to treat their wastewater. Organic pollution, such as sewage, can cause water to lose all oxygen. One of every 7 kilometers of river in Latin America, Asia, and Africa has no oxygen. This threatens freshwater fisheries, the report said. Mines, homes, and irrigation systems often release salty water in rivers and lakes, creating high salt levels there. Moderate to high salt levels affect 1 in 3 rivers across the 3 continents, the report said. Dietrich Borchard called the increasing levels of water pollution over time critical. It costs much more money to clean up surface water from severe pollution than to start effective management, which includes prevention of pollution, he said. Tools are available, but the problem is getting people to use them. I'm Pete Musto.
Donald Trump is making America's immigration policy the top issue of his presidential campaign. At a speech on Wednesday, Trump said illegal immigrants are responsible for many violent crimes, and he said they represent a terrorism threat to the United States. Trump told a crowd in Arizona that illegal immigration is also an economic threat. He said it can cost Americans jobs or force them to work for lower wages. Trump, a New York businessman, is the Republican Party's candidate for the presidency. The candidate of the Democratic Party is Hillary Clinton, a former Secretary of State, Senator, and the wife of former President Bill Clinton. The U.S. presidential election is November 8th. Some observers expected Trump to moderate some of the positions on immigration during the Arizona speech, but that did not happen. Trump called for a tripling of immigration agents to enforce immigration laws and remove illegal immigrants with criminal records. And he repeated his call for building a wall along the U.S. border with Mexico. "We will build a great wall along the southern border," Trump said, "and Mexico will pay for the wall, 100%. They don't know it yet, but they're going to pay for it." Hillary Clinton opposes a border wall. Clinton has said she will push a bill in Congress to give immigrants without legal documentation a path toward citizenship. Stephen Brooks is with the Ray C. Bliss Institute of Applied Politics at the University of Akron in Ohio. He said Trump continues to appeal to voters who worry that a long-time goal of many Americans is no longer possible for them and their families. That goal is to hand down a better life for their children. Many believe that is out of reach, and they blame, whether fairly or not, immigration and trade, Brooks said. Many of these voters are white men, Brooks said. Many live in areas where factories that produce clothing, steel, and other products are gone. So are the high-paying jobs those businesses provided. White working-class voters helped Trump surprise the experts and defeat 16 other candidates for the Republican presidential nomination. Trump's problem is that these voters may not be enough to win a general election with an increasingly diverse group of voters, Brooks said. In 2012, 71% of Hispanic voters chose President Barack Obama over his Republican opponent, Mitt Romney. A public opinion survey in July found that 82% of Hispanic voters have an unfavorable view of Trump. I'm Bruce Alpert.
From VOA Learning English, this is the Health and Lifestyle Report. There is a popular saying in the English language, "Sticks and stones may break my bones, but names will never hurt me." Well, that is not true. Unkind words, name-calling, or even the so-called silent treatment, can hurt children as much as being physically hit, sometimes even more so. A recent study of middle school children showed that verbal abuse by other children can harm development in the brain. The study was a project of researchers at Harvard Medical School in Massachusetts. Researcher Martin Tyker and his team studied young adults ages 18 to 25. These young men and women had no experience with domestic violence, sexual abuse, or physical abuse by their parents. The researchers asked the young people to rate their childhood exposure to verbal abuse from parents and other children. Then the researchers performed imaging tests on the brains of the subjects. The images showed that the individuals who reported suffering verbal abuse from their peers in middle school had underdeveloped connections between the left and right side of the brain. The two sides of the brain are connected by a large bundle of connecting fibers called the corpus callosum. This was the area that was underdeveloped. The middle school years are a time when these brain connections are developing. So unkind, hurtful comments from children or adults during this period had the greatest effect. The researchers tested the mental and emotional condition of all the young people in the study. The tests showed that this same group of individuals had higher levels of fear, depression, anger, and drug abuse than others in the study. The researchers published their findings online on the American Journal of Psychiatry's website. We cannot control what other people say to our children, but we can prepare them. A website called creativewithkids.com suggests 64 things that all children need to hear. Here are our top 20.
I am curious what you think.
You are creative.
I believe in you.
You can ask for help.
You make me smile.
I have faith in you.
You are imperfect. So am I.
You are a good friend.
I will do my best to keep you safe.
Trust your instincts.
My world is better with you in it.
I love you.
It's fun to do things with you.
You are valuable.
Your choices matter.
You can change your mind.
You make a difference.
I'm ready to listen.
You can learn from your mistakes.
I'm proud of you.
Share one or more of these statements with a child in your life. Actually, maybe we all need to hear some of these statements. Choose another and say it to an adult you care about. I'm Ana Mateo.
That's our program for today. We'd like to hear what you think of it. You can send us an email. Our address is learningenglish@voanews.com. Or send us a message through our website. Just go to learningenglish.voanews.com and click Contact Us. While you are there, you can read, listen to, and download our programs. You will also find captioned videos and lessons to test your American English skills. I'm Christopher Jones Cruz in Washington. For all of us here at VOA Learning English, thanks for spending some time with us today. I hope you'll join us tomorrow for another Learning English program from The Voice of America.